Okay, the boys said today's daf is daf Kif Beis, Kuf Beis 102A. We're holding the final two words on Kif Aleph Umet Aleph last line. As you recall, the Gemara told us yesterday, when it comes to a bezdin for purposes of chalitza, it has to be yidden, meaning born Jews, as opposed to gerim. How do I know? Because it says in the pasuk, the nikashmoy be Israel. So we learn for the word be Israel to go and tell you it's got to be Yidden as opposed to it's born Jews as opposed to Gerim. So we're going to talk a little bit for a short moment about the ability of a Ger, the qualification of a Ger to go and be part of other Batei Dinim for other purposes. So Omer Rava, bottom of the Amid, now top of the Amid, Ger don es chaveroi, meaning Ger don es chaveroi, ger. One ger can be don another ger. So one ger could be the shofet, he can be the judge, and the other ger can be the litigant.
Does that mean a based in shofet?
You were talking only a based. Now, when we talk about ger don es chaveroi, the question is, are we talking about dine mominis, or are we talking about dine nefashis? Dine mominis, of course, means monetary matters, and dine nefashis, chas v'shalom, means capital matters. So if you look at the top Rashi, Ger donas chaveroi dina nefashis dila dina mominis afilu lechol Yisrael. Oh, this is very important. A ger can be a shofet or a dayan for all cases, even involving Yisraelim gemurim, even involving born Jews. Not, it says in the Mishnah, beginning of Sanhedrin, hakol ksherim lodon dina mominis v'yamrinan hakol asuye mai lasuye ger. Oh, so even a ger is qualified to go and be a dayan for dina mamas. So what are we talking about then? We're talking about dina nefashis. Dina nefashis means, chas v'shalom, someone did something that would otherwise require him to get chas v'shalom misa. For instance, a person who was mechal Shabbos when there was hasra'ah and he did it b'meizid. What's the din? You have to have a bezin to go and decide his fate. Says our Gemara, the ger can be done as chaveiroi, meaning a fellow ger. However, he could not be done a fellow born Jew. Why not? Says the Gemara, ger done as chaveiroi is vatoyrishim. It says in the pasuk, so tosim alecha melech. Ashivcha Hashem lekecha boy, mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech. The Gemara learns from the fact that it says mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech that it's got to be from a born Jew and not from a ger. It's going to be mikerev achecha, Jews that were born Jews and not tzigi kimena, not new Jews as a result of conversion. So the Gemara says, this has, somebody please put yourself on mute, zat moichum. All those in South America, please put yourselves on mute. Anyways, continuing on the Gemara, alecha hu debeinah mikerev achecha. Alecha involves you. In other words, if you happen to be the person in this litigation or the accused in connection with a chas v'shalom capital matter, so then you have to have a shoyfet, a dayan who's mekerev achecha. Avo, if it's not alecha, it's not a born Jew, but it's a ger. Ger donas chaveiroi, ger. One ger can go and be a dayan for another ger. Now this pasuk, of course, deals with a melech. We're talking about dayanim. What does one thing have to do with the other? So Rashi addresses this on the third line. Alecha hu debeinah mekerev achecha. Alecha, meaning if it's a dintur that involves you, you being a born Jew, then you have to be mikerev achecha, from among your brethren born Jews. Avla ha-ger, afil ha-chaveri, ata make him olam. If you're talking about a ger that is in the middle of this issue, this case, so then you can take even another ger to be the dayan. Now, what does dayan have to do with melech? Dayan b'chlal melech, the Sibbe says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Melech b'mishpat yamid oretz. Oh, what is the yamid oretz? Doime dayin lemelech in tzorach klum yamid oretz. If the dayin is similar to the melech, she'ein tzorach klum, that Baruch Hashem, he doesn't need to go and take bribes, he's okay financially, as well as he knows the halachas. Yamid oretz, that he can go and paskin, so that the eretz should be yamid, and should be able to be properly stabilized and properly
sustained.
Oh, beautiful word. So we have already one pasuk that therefore is medama melech b'mishpat, melech in mishpat, meaning a dayan. So we have one raya that Dayan has the same requirements as a melech. The oi, besides that, simois harbei ksuvim kan. Says in the pasuk, soin tosim, that comes to tell you, kol mesima shat meisim liyuhu el mikir b'checha. Any position of authority has to be mikir b'checha from among you. And the Gemara elsewhere says that even being in charge of who is going to be doing the irrigation this week. In other words, if you had a bunch of neighbors that all lived next to one stream, good. And you had to decide which owner of which field was going to be able to go and draw the water from this stream on Monday, and which one on Tuesday, and which one on Wednesday. So even things of that nature, even toll collectors, it says it has to be from a born Jew as opposed to Gaim. All based on this, soim tosim simois harbeik suvim kan lav dafke melech, a dayan, or even a person who is an administrative clerk of sorts. Zokti moravaita, that is the gabe capital cases. Now let's go and talk about the, finishing off this gemara, din hoise imam miyisrael. If you have a ger who is partially Jewish, meaning that his mommy was Yisrael, even though his father was a goy originally and became a ger, non afili Yisrael, that's already enough to be considered to be a full-fledged Jew for our purposes, he can be done even Yisrael.
We're talking about the child whose mother was born Jewish, or the father who converted. We're talking about the child. What's the chiddush there? Already we had before that the child of a Jewish woman is considered a Jew. But he may have a pagam in his yichus, but halachically he's a Jew. So what is this chiddush that he's considered a Jew for this purpose? He always, in the rest of all the conversations we've had in the Gemara, he's considered Jewish.
True. But 50% of his genealogy, 50% of it happens to be a goy. Therefore, we're saying if his mother is Jewish, that's already enough for these purposes. However, ulinin chalitza, so you have to have both.
Okay.
Is that a chiddush?
Yes.
Of course. Absolutely.
Right.
Since here you have to have both, he says, but other than Torah, half 50% is enough.
Is a ger allowed to be the yavam?
Let's get that in a moment. Shenemar, how do I know that in chalitza of the imam Yisrael? Shenemar, v'nikrish moi be Yisrael. Says Rashi, be Yisrael, mashi he Yisrael, mechakol etzdovim. Yisrael means as if he's immersed in the middle of Klal Yisrael. So he has to be on both sides, a father and a mother. Getting back to your question.
Meaning two brothers are misgayer and they get married and one...
If two brothers were both originally goyim, and
yes,
they both are megayer,
right,
they are no longer considered to be brothers for purposes of yibam b'chalitza. And if one of them dies, there is no mitzvah of yibam b'chalitza on the other remaining surviving. Omer Rav Makana, Omer Rav. If Yabiliyo, okay. So now we finished with geirim and with batigdinim. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the mechanics of the chalitza itself. And one of the major mechanics, of course, is the size and shape and texture and fabric of the shoe. It's Omer Rabba, Omer Kana, Omer Raf. If Eliyahu Navi were to come down today, everybody's going to say, he can't come down today, because Erev Shabbos, okay, on Sunday. He's going to go and say, Cholzin b'minol, shoymin loy. Ein cholzin b'sandol, ein shoymin loy. What's a minol, what's a sandal? So we already had this discussion briefly yesterday. If you want to go back to Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph, the Mishnah only mentioned the word minhal, but Rashi already told us what. No, the Mishnah mentioned sandal as well. See on the second line, chotzer the minhal chalitzosa ksheira, and pilaya chalitzosa psula. The sandal sheish liyakim kosher sheish liyakim is possible. What's the difference between a minhal and ampilaya and a sandal? So Rashi already explained yesterday. Minhal and sandal are both shoes made out of leather. However, the minhal is made out of oir rach, that's soft leather. Rashi says kein shalonu, similar to our shoes. Sandal is not what we call today sandals, but to the contrary. Sandal was made out of oir kosher, a very heavy-duty, thick oir, thick leather. Umavushal, how did it get so hard and thick? Says Rashi, mavushal, it was cooked. You cook the leather, it gets a much harder texture. Okay, said our Mishnah that minhal is an ampalaya. Ampalaya means a sack. We're going to learn more about ampalaya later on in today's time. So now, what's the difference between a minhal and sandal for practical terms? So Rashi already told us, since the Mishnah uses the term chalitzosa ksheira, means lechatchila, you should not use a minol, you should rather use a sandal. But b'diyaved, a minol is also kosher. What's the difference between a sandal and a minol? The Torah only says the chotze naloi me'al ragle. Rashi says on today's Amud Aleph that the word now is sufficiently broad to cover both minol and sandal, because the Torah itself never uses the term minol or sandal. So the word now, which just means shoe, includes both. So how come minol then is only b'diyaved kosher, not lechatchila? The Gemara is going to tell us a little bit further down, because of a gzeira mishum minol hamerupat. What means minol hamerupat? Minol hamerupat means that the minol, this shoe, is missing the top, the surface of the shoe.
The tongue.
The front of the shoe. So now the obvious question is, how come the shoe doesn't fall off? Because he has extensive shoelaces or shoe straps that hold it in place. But that only works the gabi a minol. The gabi a sandal, Rashi said, since it happens to be hard leather, once there is a break or a crack in the leather, there's aimlik tekana, there's no way you can help it, because you cannot use the straps or the laces to go and tighten it. It's so hard, it doesn't tighten. So, to keep it in place, that's fine. However, once it's broken, once there's nifchas, somehow there's a crack, a break, you're going to throw it out. It's ein derech l'nayale. So therefore, a minol lechachamim were goizir otu, a minol hamarupat, where you can continue wearing this torn shoe with the benefit of the laces or the shoe straps. But that's not a kosher minol, because a nal means that it's a shole, not a balmum. And so therefore, they were goizer, a regular kosher minol, otu, a minol hamarupat, mashenkin lesandl, since a sandal which is broken is unfixable, unusable, so therefore they didn't have to make a gzeir, and they said, sandal is always good, even lechatchil. So with this bit of introduction, hopefully the Gemara goes very kishmak, says the Gemara, Rabba said in the name of Kanamarab, if Eliyahu Navi were to come down today and tell us, chotzen the minnow, from now on you can use a minnow, show me light, we would listen to him. See what that means in a moment. Ain chotzu v'sandal, if he would say you cannot use a sandal, ain shemulai, we would dismiss it out of turn and say, nah, no good. Why not? Shikvar no go on v'sandal, because everybody is noyheg v'sandal. For Rav Yosef Omer Rav Kahana Omer Rav, notice it's the same Omer Rav Kahana Omer Rav, here it's Rav in the name of Kahana Omer Rav, here it's Rav Yosef in the name of Kahana Omer Rav. Emiyov Eliyov Yoymar, ain chotzu v'sandal, oh, this is the difference between Rav and Rav Yosef. Rav said, in Yovel Yovel Yoyman, Cholzim Meminol, Shoy Meloy. Rav Yosef says, if you tell you, Ein Cholzim Meminol, Shoy Meloy. Oh, a major difference, it's got to be Meminol. Ein Cholzim Mesandol, Ein Shoy Meloy, Shikvar no go on Mesandol. That second part is exactly the same. So now the question is, my benai, what's the machloikis between Rabba and between Rav Yosef? Ike benai, Meminol lechat chila. Whether today, before Eliyahu Hanavi comes on the scene, can we go today and use a minol lichat chila? Where do you see that machlokes? So explain to Rashi. Each one of them saying is, today we have an existing minhag. If Eliyahu Hanavi comes and he tells us differently, then shoy minlay. So what did Eliyahu Hanavi tell us differently? According to Rabbi, he told us, chotzen b'minol, you are allowed to use a minol lichat chila. Is a chmashra that until he's arriving on the scene, we were noig not to go and use a minol lichat chila. On the other hand, Rav Yosef says, if Eliyahu Navi comes us and tells us, ein chotzen b'minol, don't use a minol lichat chila, that means that until now we were chaylitz minol lichat chila. So the machloikis is, did they use a minol lichat chila until now? You can use a minol lechachila, minol. But now in our Mishnah, we learn chotzen minol kilushos and ksheira, which is mashma. If you did it already, okay, it's kosher. Do you have it in lechachila loy? And you're telling me that even lechachila, according to one man, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they cannot argue with our Mishnah, amiroyim. So in Bazoi, what's pshat, according to the man that holds that you can use a minol lechachila? And for the Mahuadin of Lichat Chilah, the Embassy in our Mishnah also agrees you can use a minol Lichat Chilah. But I need the boiler missy sefer. Ban pelay chalitzosa psula gafila diyeved. Since right after that the Mishnah continues on that if you use a sack, if you have the husband coming into the husband, the yovam coming into bezin, just wearing socks, and she removes the sock instead of removing a shoe, then it's possible in the diyeved. Oh, it's a nomination diyeved. However, lechatchila you can even use a minhag according to this man yomar. Notwithstanding that the Lashon HaMishnah sounds like that the minhag is only kosher b'diyeved. But now the Gemara tells the minhag lechatchila tanoi. This diuk that you make in the machlokes between Rabba of Rav Kahana Merav and Rav Yosef of Rav Kahana Merav, you should know that this is not just a machlokes amiron. This is already an old machlokes tanoi. This anya. And the Gemara tells us a story in this brisa. I once went to Netzivan. Who do you think he found in Netzivan? Tzossi Zokin Echad, he found an elder dementia, an older individual. Do you know Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Right.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda ben
Beseda.
Right. Of course.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Very good. So what both brothers are telling us now in the more beginning, Sechem Sochem tells us that it was a Gentile that came in front of Yehuda ben Beseda. Yehuda ben Beseda was not Ole Regel. Why wasn't he Ole Regel?
Yeah,
sure. Tosis said he was feeble, he was already elderly, he was not able to go. Anyway, this guy told him proudly, I want you to know, I've been Ole Regel Pesach time, and I've already gotten a chelik in the Karban Pesach, which of course is prohibited. So, Peter ben Beseder said, did you ever get a piece from the Aliyah? Aliyah is the fatty tail. No, they never gave me a piece. You know why they never gave me a piece? Because that's part of the Ayman that goes on the Mishayach. But this guy doesn't know. He never learned Pesach and Pesachim, and he never learned together with the Daf. So he was sure, yeah, why not? He said, you see, they're tricking you. You should ask for a piece of Aliyah next time. Okay, so next time Pesach, I went to eat a piece of Aliyah, and they told me, well, why? No, the great rabbi in the tzivah, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, said I should go and take a piece. Really? He told you should ask for Aliyah? Can you show us your passport? Can you show us your visa? Show us your
Yichus brief.
But anyway, they found out that his Yichus was. He was 20th generation from Esav, and they therefore decided to eliminate that young man. Anyway, the point is, after the story was over, the great Chachamim in Yerushalayim, they praised Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, said, Ata ben Etzivin, Umetzudascha Perusa al Yerushalayim. Even though you're far away, hundreds of miles away in Etzivin, but your wider net reaches all the way here to Jerusalem. So what do we see from that? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder lives in Etzivin. That's why Rabbi Yossi, who was familiar, of course, with that Gemara, and presumably he knew or heard of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, he comes in Etzivin, he asked the Zokin, do you know Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder? I'm like, yeah, sure, I know him very well. Val Shulchani, who taught here? He happens to be a welcome, frequent guest in my home. Did you ever see a chalitza? Yes, I was there present many times. I was often there, and I would scream out, no, sure, I was there. So he asked him, minul or a sandal? What did he use? Did you see what type of shoe was used? Minul or a sandal? Amali, and now he asks me rhetorically, are you even allowed to use a minul? Why are you asking that question? Are you allowed to use a minul? Amar Tilois, I told him back. In Cain, you're telling me that you cannot. In Cain, my Rora Meir Loimer holds a minnow, Chalitzosik Shader. Everybody knows that Rav Meir holds that if you use a minnow, it is kosher. Not only that, Rav Yankov, Oyim Mishmoy, Rav Yankov says in the name of Rav Meir, that holds a minnow even Lechad Chila. So therefore, Rav Yossi was reporting that in fact it's a machloikis tanoim between Rav Meir and Rav Yankov, whether, Rav Yankov, the name of Rav Meir, whether or not you can use a minhag chatchila or not, and that's what the Gemara said, Kitanoi, that's the same machloek that we have between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, and you can use a minhag chatchila. Pray tomorrow, Man the Yom Chatchila Loi, my time, what's wrong? A minhag is just as kosher as a now, like a sandal, what's an afki minhag? Eloi Mishim de Havya Hansa Me'al, the Araksa Me'al de Me'al. Oh, I have a reason. Maybe the reason is because it said the Chotza. That the lady has to go and remove that she has to go and remove the na'al from the yavam. And it says me'al raglay. Me'al raglay means that he's wearing the shoe. Now, if you're talking about a shoe like a minnow, you might think that that is like a double shoe. Why is it a double shoe? Panza means the top of it. We said the front of it.
The tongue.
The tongue, okay, but even more than the tongue. The whole front of the shoe, the top of the shoe, that is me'al. So she has to remove that me'al, me'al raglech, because that happens to be on top of the foot. The araksa are the straps that hold the minnow in place. Those are me'al de me'al. Could very well be that they strap all around. But the point is that if we are asking her to go and remove the minnow from the foot of the oven, and assuming that it happens to be tied, and we'll see in the Gemara a little bit further down, yes, she's supposed to open up the laces or the straps. What's going to happen is she's going to remove not b'cholze nale mi'aragvay, but she's going to be b'cholze nale me'al de me'al raglay, a second level of removal. Because panza, that's the top of it, the front of it, that's me'al raglay, that's the top of the regular. The araksa, the straps, that's already me'al de me'al, that's already the next madrega. And a minnow has such straps. Rashi says a sandal doesn't have such straps because those straps wouldn't help. The whole purpose of straps or of laces is to kind of make the shoe come together a little bit more, to either expand it a little bit or to contract it a little bit, depending on how it fits on your foot. That's because you have soft leather in your shoes. But if you have hard leather, you can go and pull on the laces, fin hampis morgan, 24 hours you pull and you push, it's not going to move. It's like a piece of wood, it's like a piece of metal. It's not going to move. So therefore, by minnow you have this trouble. Maybe that's the reason why you cannot use a minnow, because it's not just a mi'al. There's a double level of mi'al de mi'al. But if that's the real reason, then you shouldn't even be able to use a di'evan, not only lichatchila, even di'evan. Says Imar, you know, you're right. The reason is gezeira mishum minul merupat. Oh, that's the Rashi of yesterday. Minul merupat means, again, that it's missing the top, and therefore it's not a good na'al, because da'al na'al by definition means that it's a good shoe that you can go... I'm sorry?
A shalem
matam, not a balmum. A shoe that you can use. And a shoe that you cannot use because it's all torn. A person will be embarrassed to wear such a shoe. And it doesn't fit, that it's going to fall off in the middle. Yes, it's on tzuris. So therefore, if you're going to allow for a regular minol, you might come to use a minol merupat. So you're going to tell me it falls off? Yeah, but some people, you know, until they get the next pair of shoes, in the meantime, they'll go just add a couple more laces, a couple more straps to make sure it shouldn't fall off. So therefore, you're going to might come to use minol merupat. Or inami mishum chatzi minol. What happens if it happens to be a smaller shoe, which doesn't really fit properly, but again, with straps and laces, you somehow manage to strap it onto your foot, so you only have half of it. That half presumably covers the thing, the toes in front, goes about halfway down, and then the rest of it you hold it with some strap. And therefore you might go and use that. Because of this possible gezeira, says the Gemara, don't use a minhal chatchila, but it's only gezeira d'rabbana. So if he did it, b'diavad, it's kush. Omer Rav, ilav dechamite lechavivi, decholitz besandel, v'islay shinsin, ano lo yehave cholitzna, el besandel, v'tayidim hedik tvei. What does Rav say? Ilav, if it wasn't for the fact, dechamite means that I saw. You have that in chol chamira v'chamite, chol chamira v'chamia, dechazite d'loy chazite, dechamite d'loy chamite, chamite means to see, Chavivi means my beloved, in this case it means my uncle. This is the famous Reb Chiya, who was a double uncle of Rav, both a paternal uncle and a maternal uncle. So if it wasn't for the fact that I saw Reb Chiya, the cholatz that he'd officiated by a chalitza, the sandal, the islay shinsen. Shinsen means that it has straps or that it has laces. I would not allow for such a chalitza. El besandal of the taya, only with the sandalim of the taya. Taya usually means the Arab merchants or the Arabs. The medic tray, that really is nice and tight and that's strong. Why is that so important, the medic tray? Because we want to make sure that she does a real chalitza. Chalitza means that she slips the shoe off his foot. If the shoe would have slipped off anyway because it wasn't very tight, so then she didn't really do anything. She just basically looked at it and really fell off. It's got to be that she pulled it off. She did.
She has to do a maisa chalitza.
Exactly, a maisa chalitza. So if it was up to me, I would say it's got to be as a strong sandal as opposed to the sandal that was used by Reb Chit. B'haididon is ours, the ones that we use. Avagav the ispei chumrisa katrinim bei misna keir the heavy chalitzasa mi'alisa. What does that mean? So Rashi says that we add another level of straps on it to make it even stronger, to make sure that it stays in place. So even though we don't use the type of shoe that was used by Reb Chiya, we especially use one that we do a double wrap on it, if you will. Ha'idon avgav v'isbe chumrisa, even though it already has chumrisa. Rashi says chumrisa means kesher, kosher al svasav. You see Rashi about two lines, three lines lower than when we are in the Gemara. Avagav the ispe chumrisa, kesher kosher al svasav. On the sides of the shoe, it is nicely stitched or nicely tied in such a way that it doesn't easily fall off the foot. Afulahachi b'shas chalitza katrina be'nista. We add yet another strap from one side to the other. Kecha de tesihi, so that she should come the tishri, that she should first open up the straps or the laces, and after that she'll remove the shoe. Oh, does it say this is, you know, Choladeus Mahadrim and a Mahadrin, that this was so fast you could not easily remove it because it was tied and it was from the side stitched well and all the rest.
It's, you know, like it's wrapped around, there's like a piece of material that wraps around the ankle or something.
Could be.
If I remember correctly, when I saw the Chalitza shoe, it did have straps on it.
Mm-hmm.
That I was surprised. It sort of looked, you know, at the W, you remember the Chalitza shoe?
I've seen a Chalitza shoe in the past, and it does have long straps that they strap around, and she ties it, and then he ties, and then she unties the thing, and then she has to pull it down. It's a ganze malucha. It's not, you know, you just kick off your shoes. You have to go and pull and strain and under and open it.
The ski boots.
It sounds like Nike has to pay money for
no question
this invention.
For those of you that are interested, there is a video from the OU All Daf of a person. I think his name is Rabbi Wright, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so he is an interesting individual, and he does a lot of manufacturing of props to show exactly how you do things, so we shouldn't forget about it. So he has a video about how you manufacture a shofar. He has a video about how you manufacture the chalitza shoe. He shows the whole construction that you do. I got some ice. Anyway, so if you want to look it up on the OU All Daf website, you'll have some a fascinating share about it, and you'll see in practical terms how to use it. Is behind you done to ours. Avgav this bechumrisa, even though it's nightly tied from the sides, so it's going to hold in place. Katrina ben misna, we add yet another level of a strap or a lace. Kech the tevich chalitzas me'ali. So this is really going to be a solid chalitza. Talking more about the simon hatoras yivama sandal. Omer yiromera hatoras yivama l'shuk. You want to be matir yivama l'shuk. The shmitas roiv ha'okev. You don't have to remove the entire shoe. Roiv of the okev is also sufficient. Okev in the Mishnah Rashi said means the sole, however it also means more generally the sole and the heel of the foot. So if roiv of the sole or heel on the bottom of the foot is now open because she's removed the shoe, she doesn't have to remove the shoe entirely. That's already enough. Pray Dimar Meisveh, you're telling me roiv of okev. Meisveh Yichadach Kasha. Hutru Ritzuais Minel Vesam. Rashi says hutru means not that she did it, but they were already opened on their own, or that the Yavam left them open, or he opened the ritzuis being the straps or the laces. Oy, Shishomet Roiv HaRegel. Or what happens if he was the one that removed most of the shoe from his leg, from his foot? Notice it doesn't say Roiv HaOkev, it says Roiv HaRegel. So he Shomet Loshen Zochet, he did the Roiv of the job, and then he said, and Yavama, you can finish it off by removing the shoe. Chalitzasa psula, no good, because she has to do the ikker malacha here. But you want time with the shomer who? It says because he did the roiv regel. Hashem to he, what happens if she would have removed from roiv regel? Then chalitzasa k'sheira.
Right. What else? How else would chalitza work if she doesn't remove it? What's the?
Frank the Gemara roiv regel in roiv okev loy. Why does the rice use the tomb term? Roiv HaRegel, and why did Yudah Marav said Roiv HaOkev? So the Gemara assumes that Roiv HaRegel is something far more encompassing than just the bottom of the foot, the sole or the heel. So therefore, how did Yudah Marav said, as long as she did a Roiv HaOkev is enough. From this Bryce's mash, she's got to do Roiv HaRegel. And for the Gemara, Roy Beregel in or Roy Beregel Roy. So to my right, Hein Roy Beregel, Hein Roy Beregel. These two terms are really synonymous. Fake Gemara, Beregel means our foot, our leg, and Okev just means the bottom of the foot. For my curly Roy Beregel, the Kula Chayle Tekare, Alei Dochis. Even though the shoe only covers a relatively small portion of a person's leg, just the bottom, but nevertheless, Kula Chayle means all of the weight, the Kare, of his leg. Alei Dochis is pressuring and is pushing down on that sole and heel of the bottom of the foot. So therefore, when we use the term Roiv HaRegel, we don't mean that the shoe has to go up like a boot up to the guy's knee or to the guy's waist. What we mean to say is that it's a shoe, and when she removes it, the Roiv HaOkev is like Roiv HaRegel because the two terms are synonymous. Now, the first part of this price, where it said Hutru Ritzuois Minul Desandol Chalitzosa Psula, that if the Ritzuois were opened on their own or through the Yovam and not through her, that it's possible. Silent Rabbiani, Dim Rabbiani. Bain Shehitir Hu Visham Tehi. If he opened up the bows, the straps, of or the laces, Visham Tehi, and then she removed the shoe. Or Bain Shehitir Hi, or she was the one that opened up the straps of the laces. Visham Tehi, and he removed the shoe. Chalitzasa Psula. Ashutata Hi, Vitashman Hi. She's got to do the whole Malucha, both opening up the laces and the straps, and removing the shoe together. What happens if instead of pulling off the shoe nicely and gently, she ripped it off? Or safasi mahu, she put on a gacheles, a
kol,
not just a kol, a hot kol,
a hot foot.
Oh boy, did he have a hot foot. And what happens? And she burned the shoe off of his foot. The whole purpose of his obviously to go and show the foot. I mean, that the foot is now no longer
closed. It's charred.
Exactly. Chalitza means that you're supposed to go and remove it. This is not a removal. This is either ripping it to pieces or it's burning it.
This is a Rabbi Yirmiya question. This is Rabbi Yana yes.
Exactly. So bottom line is, in the future, if you get involved in a chalitza, make sure she doesn't go burn a hole through the shoe.
The carbon marks will blow torch, right?
So you want to write, the boy minei Rabbi Nechemia mei Rabba. Rabbi Nechemia asked Rabbi Abba, Shnei min olim ze al gav ze. What happens if a person is wearing one shoe inside another shoe? Now, what's up? So bring my hechid on me. What's the, first of all, tell me, what's the mitzias? What's the case? Ilei medish olfa se le'iloi ve'koi tatoi. If she only removed the outer level and she left in the inner level, that's, now you're thinking to yourself, well, what type of two double shoes? You can have, for instance, those people that wear rubbers over their shoes or these little boots over their shoes. Galoshes, yeah. Galoshes, good. So you're having your regular shoe, and on top of that there are galoshes, or on top of that there's a boot, especially if it's a big snow, right? You have your shoe inside the boot to go and cover it from all sides. Good. So she took off the outer one, but she left over the inner one. Oh, so then that's the shayla. So Timur, that's not a shayla. That's a double portion. V'chol t'nala me'al ragla. Me'al ragla means the one that is immediately on the person's foot. And if you're talking about removing the outer galoshes, that's only me'al de me'al. You're not yoitza with that because that's a level higher. It's one on top of the level on top of the foot. What she did was she somehow was able to rip open the upper one but still able to keep it in place. By doing that, she was able to slip out the tatoi. There may be an etymological connection between the English word slip and the shalfase. Maybe it should really be pronounced vesalfase, so it's slipping it off. Anyway, so she was able to slip out the inner shoe and leave the outer shoe, and the outer shoe is still there. My chalitza be'ina v'ikah. She did a chalitza me'al ragloi. She did a great job. Since the outer shoe is still in place, you can't see the foot.
She did it. Sorry? It's a good trick to take out the inner shoe and leave the outer shoe still on.
No question about it.
Houdini,
Pray tomorrow, be'ikah ki ha'gavna. People wear multiple layers of shoes that you're even asking the shalas anymore. Yeah, and the Chazir Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Nafek, the Chamsha Zuzi Muki Leshuka. He wore, in fact, five levels of shoes when he went out into the shuk. This was Rav Yehuda. Why would he go and wear five levels of shoes? Our Gemara doesn't say. But Rav Yankov Emden, in the back of the Gemara, brings from Gemara Masech the Shabbos, I think Daf Lamed Zayin, if I'm not mistaken, that Rav Yehuda was a mesukan, and that any time that he would eat food, he was very, very careful, because achzosei bulmus, if he ate the wrong food, then chas v'shalom he would get very, very sick, like a botulism or something like that, perhaps even more severe. So he was very, very careful about his health. So perhaps he was carefully was concerned that if his foot was not sufficiently warm during the winter, so he had one layer, another layer, five layers altogether. So you see that there are people that wear these types of multiple layers. So apparently there was a way to go and take out an inner layer and leave the outer layer. That was the shaila, whether or not you're yoytze chalitz or not. The Gemara doesn't address the answer. The Gemara just simply says that there is such a hechatimtza. Okay, so the Gemara is right. Om Rav Yudah Marav, Yivamashik Dila Bein Ho Achim, Uteres Li Nos Li Echem and Achim, Bein Choshin Shem Acholtze Sandal Li Echem Behem. You have Yivama that was raised by the brothers-in-law. Why was the Yivama raised by the brother-in-law? The art scroll goes and speculates that we're talking about a young Yivama. She may in fact have been a Ketana. Her husband Nebuch passed away. The Kedushin and Nisuin was Min HaTorah. Why? Because it was the father went and married her off. The father can marry off a Ketana. It's a real Kedushin Min HaTorah. However, when it comes to the din of Yivam Chalitza, we had the Gerani Gemara earlier that a girl who's not a Gedoyli at Shir Ketana, she is disqualified. She cannot go and perform or participate in Yibam Chalitza. So that being the case, so we can make a Chalitza. So therefore, that being the case, thank you. So that being the case, so where is she going to live? So the Yavam said, you know, Mamala, come, you'll stay with us. She was twice, only 5 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old, 11 years old. She wasn't a Gedoyli yet. So she was brought up by the brothers. Fine. I guess they were waiting patiently until she becomes of age for Yibam Chalitza purposes. So what happens? We're now speculating that during that period of time, since she's a young girl, maybe from time to time she would help out one of her brothers-in-law by removing their shoes, and therefore, potentially had a chalitza, and she won't be able to do a yivam subsequently because kimish
le'bana shuv le'yivne. But if she's a ketana and she has no das,
so let's wait and see the whole story. If she was growing up among the brothers, subsequently she can eventually have given with one of those brothers. Maybe at one point in her life she took off the sandal. And once again, since you're right, a ketana is possible. She's already 12 and a half. They haven't done the chalitza yibam ceremony yet. But in the meantime, maybe after she was already bat mitzvah, one time she helped out one of the brothers-in-law take off one of the sandals. Oy, 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 if she had a chalitza, we're in trouble. She won't be able to do yibam. Zok to Yudah Marav, no, you don't have to worry. We told us, no, say, vein choshen, you don't have to worry. Zok to Yudah Taima Dulei Chazinan. It's Masha, I don't have to be choshish that she once took off one of the sandals, because I didn't see it. Ha Chazinan, when I'm the Vaitaka, did see it. I have a YouTube showing that she removed one of the shoes of one of the brothers-in-law. Are you going to go and say, Chayshinan, you have to be Choshish? I want to have a price. Bein Shiskavin who? Flin Shiskavin the heat. Bein Shiskavin the heat. Flin Shiskavin who? Chalitzas Psulat Shiskavin the Shneim Tiachat. Both of them have to be Mechavin to go and participate in the Chalitza. And the assumption is that even if she took off the Chalitza, the shoe, and she did a wonderful job, she opened up all the knots and all the straps and all of the laces and she pulled it off and the entire thing, not just Roiv, the Gansa Maisa. The assumption is that she didn't have the kavana. And even if she did have the kavana, the Yovam didn't have the kavana. When you take off your shoes at night, you have kavana about doing chalitza. Yeah, highly unlikely. So therefore, says Yomar, what do you have to say? That the reason is, I'm not choshish, maybe she was choltza. Even if I actually saw that she was choltza, I still should not be choshish because she didn't have, or he didn't have, they both didn't have any kavana.
Furthermore, they didn't have the whole ceremony of saying it and spitting.
Apparently, that's not makid. We're going to have later in Mishnayos in our Perek, which is your market, which is this market. So Tima Hochi Kama, Aval Gav de Chazinon, Ein Choshishin, Shema Kifnu. That's Taka what Yehuda Amarav meant. When he said Ein Choshishin means that even if we do know for a fact that she once or more times removed the shoes from one of her brothers in law, you don't have to be Choshishin that she was that maybe Mechabin for a purpose of chalitza, because after all, that's not the setting to go and do a chalitza, and therefore you don't have to choishish that he had the kavanah, she had the kavanah, it's good. The yekaniyamin is another version. It's taka because we didn't see. If we saw that she removed the shoe at one point, I'd have to be choishish. We wouldn't allow her to do yibam because maybe this was chalitza. The katana, didn't you say boy kavanah, she had to have kavanah? Hani milish teruya la'alma, to be mutter to the whole world, then you have to know for sure that there was kavanah. Avali achen, to go and hassle her for the achen, you don't have to know for sure.
Right.
Even if you're speculating, that's already enough to go and say, no, don't allow her to do yibam because of the isra of kimish lebana, shuv lo yivne.
Like if you give her a get to a shomer siyavam, even though there's no halachic consequence, but
very good.
It poisons the, contaminates the whole situation.
Exactly. So what Barry is telling us is that although in Atreida there's no such concept of get vis-a-vis a yavam, but once the Chacham said that there's a din of maimer and that there's a din of get, even though it doesn't remove the zika, you still have to have a chalitza after a get. But nevertheless, that is a get if there was no consummated yibam. For the consummated yibam, then there's no more zika left.
Right.
But if it was just a maimer, for instance, or even if there was no maimer,
right,
if the yavam gave her a get, that get, as you said, poisons the atmosphere, that from that point on, kimish lebanon shuv leivne midrabanon, because the whole get is only drabanon here. So here too, the same type of thing, that you could have a chalitza which only works to deny them the right to go and engage in yibam subsequently, kimish lebanon shuv leivne, but it's not enough to go mimata le'olam to the ganzevelt. For that, you have to have that you know for a fact, you know for sure, that both are being miskaven for that purpose. If you look at the second toises, with the katani boy kavana, midik tani ad she is kavn l'shem keelchad mashu to be in sheneida sheheim miskavn l'chalitza, to go and say that she is now no more zika, no more yibam, no more nothing. We have to know for a fact that in sheneida we have to hear them in the bezer shtibul say all the sayings, and we know for sure they're engaging chalitza. So any other time, I'm taki going to be choishish that maybe she did a chalitza, maybe he wasn't mechaben, she was mechaben. It's enough to go, because of these chashashes, to go and say, no more yibam. But to go be matali alma, you're right, for that you have to have a full-fledged kavana that we know for a fact that they were mechaben.
So is this a raya mitzvah srichas kavana?
Well, that's a very good question. The Mephoshim talk about whether or not this is even according to Mani Yaman, that holds that a mitzvah ain't srichas kavana. And therefore they speculate, they talk about what is the kavanah that we're talking about over here. Is it a kavanah l'shem mitzvah? And if that's the case, you're 100% right, that would sound like that mitzvah srichas kavanah. Or it means kavanah l'shem chalitza, that we want to go and perform a chalitza. Because when you just go and remove the shoe from the person's foot, that is not a ma'isa chalitza. We certainly omit aleph. It has to be mehudrik, and it has to be mitlaces and mitstraps, and it has to be really strong. Exactly. So she had to go and take it all off, or at least drive, etc. So we don't mean necessarily kavana for the mitzvah of chalitza, but for the ma'isa of chalitza, that she is mechaven to do a proper chalitza with all of its roots.
You're distinguishing the mitzvah chalitza and ma'isa chalitza.
Yeah, would you like to tell us
what the difference? I'm asking you, it's a very interesting distinction.
The mitzvah means to mekayim the mitzvah. Just like when you're putting on tefillin, you're mechaven to put on tefillin. When you are putting on your tzitzis, you're mechaven to do tzitzis. If you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana and you didn't go and have the kavana, then you're not yoitz. Here we're saying, even if you hold, you don't have to have a kavanah l'shem mitzvah.
But the physical act. The physical act.
Otherwise, it's a
masasek
that we have.
Exactly. Right. Perfect.
That's a distinction.
Amr v'yinam sandal hatofur bepishtan. What happens if the sandal itself, the material, although the major material happens to be made out of leather, which is a requirement, as we'll see in another line. However, part of the stitching, part of the keeping the piece of leather together was through linen thread. Ain't chotzmah, no good. Shnemar, it's in the Pasuk Yecheskel, the Amalech Tachash. Tachash, as we know, was one of the animals that lived at the times of the Mishkan, which it says that one of the covers over the Mishkan was Oirois Tchoshim, and therefore, the word Tachash means leather. V'analech, the now that I'm going to put on your foot, or that I'm going to remove from your foot, we'll see in Shimon Nimaril shortly, that now is tochash, it has to be made out of hide or leather from the tachash animal. And therefore the Gemara says, it doesn't have to be tachash animal, but it has to be at least, it's got to be an animal. So therefore, if you're using pishtan, which is not an animal ingredient, no good pasul for chalitza. Pray tomorrow. Once you're telling me that I'm learning from that pasuk that it's got to be dafka from an animal and it cannot be from linen, maybe a nal can only be made out of tachash, and therefore there would be, you'd have to buy a special.
We don't even know what a tachash is today.
Exactly.
We don't know.
Rashi and Chumash says it was only for that one generation, and that they didn't have tachashim later on. And he suggests that it's saskavna that happens to be, it had like a rainbow
multiple colors.
Yeah. Anyway. Look back in the parasha is dealing with the Mishkan. Maybe Takesh and Minichalai, maybe only Takesh and nothing else. So it's Yomor and Naal Naal Riba. It says twice here, the Cholz and Naal in the Al Ragloi. And at the end it says, the Nikrishmoy Bisrael Beis Chalutz HaNoal. It says Naal twice. It's Marba, not only a Takesh shoe, but any animal shoe. So Yomor and Naal Naal Riba, fill it called Mili Nami. If that's the case, maybe you're opening yourself up even to go and have a canvas,
a sack,
even a sack, but he means even something which is not made necessarily out of leather. Today you can get plastic, and then half of the people are wearing Crocs, so the Gemara says asafilu kol mili nami, so then you can go and use any type of material. Why does Yecheskel Dafni use the expression enolech tachash? They're going to tell you that a nal is supposed to be made out of leather. Maybe dafka tachash. That's why it says now twice to go and tell you other types of leather. It doesn't have to dafka be a tachash animal. It can be any animal. What about, does it have to be from a kosher animal? Or can even be from a non-kosher animal? So there you have a toisis here, fourth toisis on the top. A machloikis. The analech tachash mikana umre benetam shetzok shiya mil mi'or behema tachoyra. The tachash ksif. The tachash apparently was a kosher animal. Toisa says, I disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, therefore it's machlokes rishonim whether or not you have to have dafka behema tohira or even a behema tameh. Talking more about the boy menei rebelos merav, who shall or betarsi Yosef shall say or ma. The whole shoe is taken made out of leather. Perfect. Tarsi Yosef, the straps are made out of hair. And not just any hair, Rashi says, goat's hair. No goats here, that's from an animal. So Mal, what's the din now? What's wrong with that? That it's also an animal ingredient, so you don't have to be dafka leather. After all, tachash doesn't mean dafka, that the whole shoe has to be made out of leather. It could be other. Tachash presumably also has hair, or wool, or whatever. So you should be able to use that too. It's an animal ingredient. What's the problem? What happens if you have a shoe that is made totally out of goat's hair? Would that also be good? Who karka mikri? On the side it has another gear, so a korka mikri. What side is a karka? It's a korka. Not on the side. Rashi has a gear, so korka. Look at Rashi about 10 lines into the narrow lines. Rashi says korka. However, Rashi doesn't tell us what korka means.
Yes.
Here on the side it says, I'm in the mukiyasa. The mukiyasa in the back of the Gemara says that a karka or korka means a shoe that is made out of two pieces of leather that you put together with crazy glue or super glue, some sort of devek, to hold it together. And that is not going to work that well, and it has a clumpy type of feel to it. You have two clumps of leather together and somehow you're able to attach it with glue. So says the Nuki Yosef, the same thing applies when you make it out of hair. You also cannot make it straight and fine. It's also going to be in clumps. Therefore, it has a status like a korka, which is not considered to be a shoe. You go into a store and you see these two clumps of leather together, or you see goats here. That's not in the shoe department, that's in the korka department. So that's no good. Amir of Kanalishmur. But the Gemara is asking is that the word chalitza l'choira is susceptible to two interpretations. The way we always understand it means to go and remove the chotzen al me'aragle. That's based on our Mesoyer and our Gemara. How do you know? Maybe it doesn't mean to slip off. Maybe it means to slip on. So you're going to say, where do you get this from? Where do you get it that means mishlefu? It's in the pasuk when you have tsaras on the wall of the house, the chiltzus avanim, then you slip out, you remove those avanim, those stones which are so effective, shebein hanoga, and then you go and put in new stones and you plaster it up, etc. So you see, v'chiltzu means to remove. Ah, so that means also to remove the shoe. The aim is rusiu. Maybe it's verkehrt. It says the gabe, the milchamois. Echoltzu miyidchem. Rashi says echoltzu means to go and prepare yourselves. Be mazmin yourself, you know. Get all your weapons together. Get all your shields together, whatever you need. And then you'll go out to war. Ah, so if that's the case, echoltzu miyidchem, nashim latzava. Maybe over here also means prepare the shoe by putting it on the leg, or prepare the foot by putting the shoe on the foot. And therefore, that's what it means, not to remove, to put it on. So Timura Hasam Nami, Shlufim Ibeis Lekarva. Over there, Heichotu Ulzu means to remove or to slip yourself. What does that mean? That people until now were comfortable at home. And now we tell them, remove yourselves from your homes and go out to battle. So the word Heichotu doesn't mean really to bear. It really means to remove and slip out. Timura Baksim, I have another pasuk. Yechalitz Onim the Onyoi. What does that mean? Yechalitz Onim the Onyoi. That we're going to go and strengthen the Oni in his poverty. Oh, so I see from that that the word Yechalitz means to go and strengthen. It doesn't mean to go and slip out. It says, the Pasuk in Iyov is telling us is that those people Ba'olam Hazeh that Nebuch suffer from poverty, those people have a difficult life. So they will be able to remove themselves from a certain degree of the Gehenna of Yenevelt. Remember, if they suffered so much in this world, that's Mechaper on many of their Averois. So down next world, hopefully,
you get credit.
Not only get credit, hopefully you get an easy pass going straight to Gan Eden. Hello, if somebody have another passing in Tillim. Choynem Malach Hashem Sov V'Yireya V'Yichaltzein. Doesn't V'Yichaltzein also means that the Malach around them went and strengthen them and gave them further vitality and strength. So Timara, what it really means is Bishar Yireyev Yichaltz Medina Shogihim. What really it's saying is that because of the Yireyev, Chayim Amar Hashem Sov the Yireyev, the Eir Lechayim that do the mitzvahs that we're supposed to, the tzaddikim, the Torah, the mitzvahs of Masim Toivim, there's Chuz Yichaltz, and they will allow for a kapara for other Jews that unfortunately are not so similarly situated, that they'll be able to slip out and be removed from Dinah Shavihanim, that they'll also hopefully in his chuz be able to go to Gan Eden. I have another puzzle, which means to take your bones and to strengthen. That's the best of the bracha, to go and strengthen a person's frame, his bones, that he should be able to function properly, his arms, his legs. Oh, does the shens the bracha. By the way, we say every time the Rosh Chodesh mentioned, Chayim shel chilitz atzamais. For those of you that are always wondering, what's the chilitz atzamais? That's from this pasuk over here. Chilitz atzamais, because Baruch Hu should go and strengthen our bones and our limbs that they should function to be able to go. You shouldn't have to take walkers. You shouldn't have to go in wheelchairs. That's a grace in Baruch Hu. So Yibazois, I see yachlitz means in this case, V'yomarava zruzi garmi. The word garmi means bones. And Zuzi means to strengthen and to revitalize the bones. No, so you see that Yachlit doesn't mean to remove, it means to strengthen, it means to prepare. And, you know, I have to concede. Mashmahachi, mashmahachi. The word choylates could mean both. The halcha, isokadaita Zuzihu, here it's got to mean to remove the shoe and not put the shoe on, because if it meant to put the shoe on, in Kindlichte Brahmana, the Cholzanale, Biragloi. Why does it say Me'al Ragloi? Me'al has that sound that you're taking it off, not that you're putting it on. So Timur Mishkarai. The reason why it says Me'al, because Rahmana Biragloi, have a minute Biragloi in Mishukai Loi. Remember, we had a discussion yesterday in the Mishnah, what happens if you have an amputee, and unfortunately his shoe, his boot, is really a very large boot that reaches up to the stump, and that way the person has a shoe. And we have said in the Mishnah that if the stump is lower than the knee, in other words, that Baruch Hashem, the person has his knee, and even a nochashtikl beyond the knee, then that's still okay. If it's only Nebuch higher than the knee, and Nebuch is a real amputee, and kol gefelach, that's, and you have no possibility of chalitz. So maybe that's the reason why it says, may al ragloi, instead of biragloi, because it would say biragloi, have a min biragloi in mishukaloi. That the only time that you can go and do a chalitza if he has the shoe on the bottom of the foot, like regular people have, as opposed to people that have to wear a boot of some sort, because Nebuch, they don't have a foot on the bottom, they only have most of the leg, and so I would say maybe that doesn't work. So that's the reason why it has to go and say, me al ragloi instead of biragloi. That even if it's higher up than the regular, regular in this case meaning the foot down below, and even though this shoe is being removed from on top of the foot, why? Because the person is amputated, he only has a shoik, he has the upper thigh and part of the lower thigh. So Gemara, so that's the reason why it says me'al. The Gemara came lichtei brachmana bime'al raglai. If you're telling me that the chotzer means to put the shoe on instead of taking the shoe off, it should go and say taka me'al, you're right, to tell you that even the shukai, fine, to tell you the shoik, but it should say b'chotzer nale bime'al raglai, that she's putting the shoe on top of that piece which is the upper part of the regular, not the foot itself, but the shoik. My may out English, I mean, not Mishlefu, that in this context it means to remove, it doesn't mean to put on. Amli halumina liram gamliel. So now, one of the minim, one of the apikarsim, mina could also be one of the early Christians, was chepening with Ram Gamliel, and he said, Am the chalitza mari minay. You should know Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us a chalitza and has terminated the zika, the connection with Klal Yisrael. Where do you see that? It's a pasuk in Hosea, t'chsev. They're going to go and search for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're going to take the Tzoyin Uvaka with them. They're not going to find Hashem. Because Cholatz Mehem, because Chas V'Shalom, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has already removed the shoe from us, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no more Zika, no more connection. Chay the Min has a good point. Amalei Tzim Gamliel said, Shaitadi, Miksev Cholatz Loem, Cholatz Mehem, Miksev. And therefore, says Rashi, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that performed the Chalitza. It's Klal Yisrael that has severed its relationship with Hashem through their multiple sins over the generations. They have sought to go and cut the umbilical cord to end the Zika. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow that. How do I know? Vili Yavoma, the Chotzu. Here it says, look, but the Bach brings from the Rashi, Mino Achen Midichay, Mishasha Izpei. What happens if you have a role reversal? And now in the age of women's lib, it's bound to happen that there's going to be a chalitza where the woman's going to insist that the yovim should remove the shoe from her foot instead of her having to remove the shoe from his foot. So, what would happen in such a case if the yovim removes mina from her, achin, the brothers remove from her the shoe, mina mishasha isbe, would that mean anything? Everybody would say, that's ridiculous! That's not a chalitza, you're not Yotzei. Ah, same thing over here. Even though Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael has performed the chalitza vis-a-vis the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's Gunish, but Gunish Baruch Hu says, they're still B'nai B'chari Yisrael, they're still my beloved nation, I will not reject them, and they're still part. Right. Says the Mishnah, An Pelai, the chalitza is a psula. An Pelai, we touched in the Mishnah, means a sack. Remember, the An Pelai, La Minlu, you're telling me it's not a minnow. But not utna nami. So far, we're going to bring a riot to this. Ein, this is a Mishnah Masechta Shkolim. We're talking about the Torah. The Torah is not a person who's giving truma from his produce. The Torah means the person who's involved in transferring the funds of the truma salishka into lishka, from the boxes into boxes. Torah is a person who's. I'm sorry?
The shofers.
Not necessarily the shofers. It could be over here. We're talking about that in. Other time, everybody sent in all their monies, and now you have to go and take from the boxes or these huge packages, the FedEx packages, and all the other packages that include the monies, and you have to go and put it into the receptacles in the Beis Hamikdash. Or it could be that we're talking about three times a year that they went into that lishka and they removed money, and then they put it into special lower, lesser boxes for purposes of buying the kabbanis. They did those three trumais lishka. Took place shortly before each one of the three Yom Tov. Anyway, so this Gizbar, who was in charge of doing that, we wanted to make sure that nobody suspect him, Chulila, of taking a couple of coins and putting them on his person. So, in the term Nichlus Leib, a Pargoid Chofes, as Rashi means, a type of beged that has a cuff on the bottom. Like today, men that wear cuffs on the bottom of their pants, you shouldn't go and stick in a couple of coins there in that cuff. Or another type of beggar that has a seam on the bottom that you can go and squeeze it into the seam or insert into the seam. Voiman Palaya, also not socks, because in the socks, of course, you can go and put in money. So don't do that. You can't go into the. When we say in a Torah Michlas, means into that lishka and where the monies reside. Don't go in with such cuffs or seams, or hems, blame on Pelayan, that was socks. Vein tzorach lemin, for sure he cannot go in the middle of a sandal. Why? If he shein nechlas in the middle of a sandal, azara. So the reason for the bargain chofis and ampalai is because of the chishash that he might be embezzling. The minhul and sandal, even without that, it means koshken, because you're not allowed to wear minhul and sandal b'chlal liyazara. You got to go barefoot. Okay, so good. So now the question is, zokti gemara. So what is the raya? The raya is the fact that we said that ampalaya is considered to be, it's not considered to be a minhul, and therefore we said, don't wear ampalaya, and certainly don't wear a minhul. They talk about a minhul. Oh, so you see, the ampalaya is not a minhul. So it says, Yimara, so we have a raya, both from our Mishnah, that Ampalai is not a minhul. And from that other Mishnah, it says, don't wear Ampalai, and certainly don't wear a minhul. If Ampalai is already a minhul, you wouldn't say, don't wear a minhul, and certainly don't wear a minhul. So Chassid and Ampalai is Nishka minhul. But Yimara, I'm going to ask you a kasha now. Echad minhul v'sandal, the Ampalai, loy yetayl behem lemibayis lebayifu lemimita lemita. That if you are walking on Yom Kippur, you're going from one house to the other house, you're going from one bedroom to another bedroom, one bed to another bed, don't go and wear minhul, sandal, or anpilaya. Why not? Because you have ne'ilas, a sandal, on Yom Kippur. Is the chasimin that anpilaya is a shtekel sandal? It's a minhul. Because, of course, you're allowed to wear socks on Yom Kippur, so she see it is a minhul. Om Rabbaya, the ispe kesisi, umishim tanik. Here the problem is not because of the ne'ilas, a sandal, but because a person is too comfortable. We're talking about socks, taka sock, like we learned until now. But the sock had in it all types of linings in it to make it really nice and comfortable and cozy. You put it on. Ooh, I'm a chaya. That's the reason why. It's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you have to have inui. Omli rovo umishim tani b'loi minol Yom Kippur miasiri. You tell me there is such a concept of inui regarding comforts as opposed to wearing shoes. Ay bo rabba ravuna korich sudra akari benofik. When he had to go out from shul, for instance, and he didn't, was not wearing shoes. So what did he do? He put a sudr, a handkerchief or a shawl, and he tied it around the bottom of his foot, and he went out so that it should be comfortable. So you see that there's no problem with tanuk. The problem is, just don't wear shoes. You have two different types of socks. You can have a leather sock, which is not the same as a shoe. I guess obviously must be more flexible, malleable. It's in the form of a sock, but it's a sock made out of leather. And then you can have an ampilai shel beged, like our socks, which are made out of regular fabric. And therefore, when our Mishnah says ampilai is no good, we're talking ampilai shel beged. When it talks about you cannot wear ampilai shel on Yom Kippur, we're talking ampilai shel or. Otherwise, I have a stirrup. Tasaniyat lo yitayl odem bikurd kedisin or bikurd de kisin. You should not wear, but you're allowed to go and wear these anpalayas. Now, question is, first of all, what size kud kedisin? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi even brings a German term over here, which is similar to Yiddish, about 15 lines from the bottom of the omid, kud kisin, min alayim dakin, these are thin shoes, shenei alan tachas min olam oven, that you put it underneath the thicker regular shoes. In other words, something similar to galoshes. I don't know that it covered it over totally. Apparently, at least at a base underneath
so
the shoe.
External galoshes are internal.
Okay, but first we're talking about kud kedisin. Why do you say, I don't know if that's
tachas.
Well, look, continue on. The nekroim, and it's called, the Russian Ashkenaz is called untershuch. Undershuch means under the shoe. So apparently this is something that you're able to add on the bottom of the shoe.
I think you're right.
Yeah, but galoshes usually goes over the whole shoe. Right. Here it's Tachman and Lion. This is as a halva galosh.
You have such a galosh.
Yeah. The only thing that you do on the bottom.
Sure, they just barely cover the front.
Exactly. Shine. So everybody's familiar. Look it. So kud kedisin, it says, leitalim kud kedisin b'tech pesach. That you should not wear on Yom Kippur. Apparently it was made out of lead. Not lead, out of leather, I'm sorry. But you're allowed to use ampalaya, which are socks. Didn't we just say a moment ago, you're not allowed to wear socks? Me, bayis, le bayis, me, mita, le bita. And now you're saying, you are allowed to wear socks. Make up your mind. There are two types of socks. If they're leather socks, you're not allowed to wear that on Yom Kippur. If they're fabric socks, you cannot go and use those for chalitza because they don't have the status of a minhag. Shema mina. Stop over here. Have a wonderful day. I get in Shabbos, everyone. See you all Sunday morning, if not sooner.